We serve a God who is rich in mercy and abounding in steadfast love, and no matter what we go through, times of trial, times of tribulation, times of joy, He has promised that He is there, He is guiding us, He is protecting us. That is the God that we worship and serve, and because of that, we can eternally rejoice if we are in Him. Praise His name forevermore. It's so good to see you here this morning. It's good to see your face. It's good to, that you are in our presence. If you are visiting with us, we just want to extend a warm welcome to you. If you would, take, like what Barry said a moment ago, take one of those blue cards that you see. Just fill that out, and you can give that to me in the back when I see you, or pass it to the center aisle there. That's just so we can get to know you, and you can get to know us, and for us to express how much we appreciate for you being here this morning with us. Today we're beginning a new series from Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. So if you want to take out your Bibles, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1, but it's entitled Created for Him. Created for Him. Now, to start out this morning, I want to ask a question, because this is one of the most profound questions, one of the most asked, in fact, questions that humans have been asking since the beginning of time. For thousands of years, we have been asking and attempting to answer this question. Why on earth am I here? Why on earth am I here? What is the purpose and significance of my life? What is the meaning of my existence? I think that every single one of us are wired to ask this question. We have an innate desire that the Bible actually teaches. We have an innate desire for our lives to bear some kind of significance, to bear some kind of fruit. We want more than anything for our tiny little lives and our tiny little existences to produce some weight of meaning. And so many people we see around the world, especially today, become wearied and depressed because of an inability to answer this question and to live it out. So all of us, either consciously or unconsciously, are asking this question, why? Why on earth am I here? What's the purpose of it all? Where can we find meaning? And of course, as Bible students and as Christians and as students of God's Word, we know that the Bible claims that there is an answer. And understanding that answer and acting upon it carries eternal weight, eternal significance. In fact, us as the body of Christ, clearly understanding the answer to this question, is the most important pieces of knowledge you could have in your life. When I know the answer to this question, my purpose, my meaning in life, life becomes meaningful. It becomes simplified. It becomes focused. It becomes motivated. And it prepares me for eternity when I know the answer to this question. This, in fact, is the most vital question that we could ask and that we could pursue in our life. And this is what we're going to be talking about this morning. Like I said, every single person attempts to answer this question, Christian or not Christian. And most people in the world, and even some Christians, most people in the world try to find purpose and meaning within their life by beginning within themselves. We've been doing this for thousands of years. We look at the ancient Greek philosophers like Aristotle. Aristotle said, happiness is the meaning and purpose of life, the whole aim and end of human existence. The whole aim and purpose of your existence and of your life and your tiny little existence here upon this globe is to be happy, is to be found within yourself, is to live the good life, to pursue the things that will make you satisfied in this present existence. That's the wisdom of Aristotle. There was another Greek school of thought called hedonism in the 4th century BC before Christ. They taught that the pursuit of your pleasure, which was very close to Aristotle's thinking, the pursuit of your pleasure is the meaning in life. That's where we find meaning and value and significance. There was another school of Greek thought called Stoicism around the 3rd century BC. They taught that the pursuit of your ultimate perfection through suffering and sacrifice, that is how we find meaning. And we find it by looking within ourselves. How can I endure through trials and tribulations in life to produce perfection? There was another Greek school of thought called Epicureanism that arose in the 4th century BC. And they taught that the purpose and meaning that we find purpose to free ourselves from pain, to free ourselves from the pain of this life and pursuing that, looking within ourselves in this way, this is how we find purpose and meaning. And we do the same thing today. The Greek philosophers have influenced our Western way of thinking and our pursuit of purpose and meaning and value. Today, we say to ourselves, and many people do this, you can create your own purpose. Look within yourself and ask, what do I want out of life? What are my goals, my dreams, my ambitions? That's the majority view of how we find purpose, by looking within our heart and creating a purpose that suits our needs and our desires and our wants. Now, asking that question, please don't misunderstand me. Asking questions such as, what are my dreams and my ambitions and my goals in life, are not necessarily bad or not necessarily evil. But focusing purely on myself to find meaning and value and significance in this life, the Bible teaches us we will never find it. We will never find ultimate meaning and significance and purpose by starting within ourselves. And the Bible claims that, in fact, life will never make sense when we try to do this. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2. The wisdom of Solomon, a man who had wisdom from God. He says, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanities of vanities, all is vanity. Solomon is saying in the book of Ecclesiastes that he tried it all. He tried pleasure, he tried the pursuit of wealth, he tried the pursuit of happiness and all different kinds of ventures and avenues. He pursued wisdom in all kinds of ways, beginning within himself to pursue purpose and meaning and value in this life. But he says that all of it, my pursuit for meaning and purpose and happiness starting within myself, he says, was vanity. Vanity of vanities. All of that was vanity. If you look in Hebrew, the Hebrew word for vanity is hevel. Literally, it means smoke. It means smoke. It means a vapor. Just imagine you lighting a oil or a tire or something on fire that produces black smoke, and you seeing it from afar. It seems like smoke seems like something that you can reach out and grab and touch. But when you get close to it, when you get close to smoke and you attempt to reach out and grab it and take hold of it, it vanishes because it's fleeting. It's temporary. And Solomon says that that is the way life goes. That's the way life is if I try to find purpose and meaning and significance by beginning within myself. And if we're honest with ourselves, like this person, Bertrand Russell, who's an atheist, we come to this conclusion if we try to find purpose and meaning within ourselves. He says this, unless you assume a God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless. It can't be found by beginning within yourselves and pursuing your hopes, your dreams, your ambitions, and your goals. The starting point of where we determine life's purpose, of where we find meaning and significance and value, can only be found by beginning with God. And this is what Paul teaches us in the book of Colossians. If you would turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, we're going to read verse 16, like was read for us a moment ago. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says, and pay attention to the prepositions here. There are three prepositions that teach us about our purpose and where we start to find our purpose, where we begin. For by him. In this context, Paul is referring to the risen Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He says, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority. All things were created through him and for him." Paul clearly teaches us that when Jesus created the world was created by Jesus, the world was created through Jesus, and the world was created for Jesus, by, through, and for Jesus. Jesus, being fully God, as the Bible teaches, has created the world and everything in it, including our tiny little lives. He formed you. He formed you inside of your mother's womb. We didn't create ourselves. We were created by Jesus. We were brought forth through Jesus, through the power of Christ. We were brought forth because of him. That means that he knows you. He knows you more intimately than any other person, any other being. He knows how you tick. He knows how you function. And he has given you a specific purpose. And we are created for Jesus. I am created for him, not for myself and my agenda. I am created for his purposes. I am created to advance his cause, his agenda. So this means Paul is telling us that finding life's purpose, which is a question that every single one of us ask, either consciously or unconsciously, begins with God. And every other path in which we attempt to find meaning and value and significance leads to a dead end if it doesn't begin with God. Now take notice with me in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. We don't have time to talk about the biblical doctrine of predestination. There's a predominant view in Christendom that I believe misleads people when we talk about predestination, but there is such thing as biblical predestination. I want to look at a passage in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, that gives us three insights into our purpose, into our meaning in life that God has assigned to us. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Paul says in here, in this verse, "In him, in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." Now, there are three major things that we can draw from this passage while we think about finding our purpose in life. Why in the world are we here? This passage is first of all teaches us that you did not create your own purpose. You did not create your own purpose, and you cannot legitimately create your own purpose. Job chapter 12, verse 10 says, "In his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind." The Bible says that everyone's life is in his power, and he has used his power to create a certain function within us. God has given us a God-assigned purpose. And when we look within ourselves to find meaning and we create it out of thin air, we create a purpose that suits our needs and our desires, life will never make sense. The Bible teaches, because we were created by a being who has given us a specific purpose. Isaiah chapter 29, verses 15 through 16 reads, "Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us?' You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay? That the thing made should say of its maker, 'He did not make me,' or the thing formed say of him who formed it, 'He has no understanding.'" In this context, the leaders of Judah in this case were attempting to hide their plans from God, acting like their wisdom was greater than his, and then really acting like he didn't even exist. And then God's response to this, God's response to their rebellion is in this way, is that he says, "Guys, you are like clay. You are like clay, and I am the potter. I am the one who has formed you and made you and knitted you together inside of your mother's womb and given you a specific purpose. God says, I have the power over your life, and I have the power to give you a purpose and to give you meaning. So we read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, it teaches us that we did not create our own purpose, and we cannot legitimately create a purpose and make sense of it all and have eternal significance. Another thing that Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 teaches us is that finding our true God-given purpose can only be discovered and carried out in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We can only find purpose and meaning and value through Jesus, the Bible teaches us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 6, Paul says, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Paul teaches that living a life in the Spirit, it means to be born again through the living Jesus Christ, to experience a spiritual resurrection through faith and repentance and baptism and walk in Him daily. That is a life that's lived in the Spirit. And Paul indirectly teaches us that true meaning and purpose can only be found through this relationship, through a relationship with Jesus Christ, the mind that's set on itself, the mind that looks inwardly to find purpose, the mind of the flesh, Paul says, is doomed to fail. Purpose can only be found in Jesus Christ. Real eternal significance can only be found in a relationship with our Savior. That is where it begins. That is where it starts. And then lastly, the last point that we learn in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 is that the purpose of your life, it's not just all about you and God assigning you a purpose. The purpose of your tiny little life here on this earth fits into a much larger cosmic purpose that God has for the world. It's not all about you. Your tiny little existence fits into something grand, into something magnificent that God has ordained before the foundations of the world. It's not about you. It is about Him. So let's get back to our question. Why on earth are we here? We haven't answered that. We've looked at, to start within myself to find purpose and meaning. We'll never do it. We'll never find purpose and meaning and value and significance by looking first within myself. It begins with God. But we haven't answered the question, why on earth are we here? What is my purpose? Where do we find meaning and value? I used to take our kids at Laverne, when I was a youth minister there, to Bible camp at Fall Creek Falls State Park. And there was a man there every Thursday night. Would be telescope night. If the sky was clear, he would bring his very high-dollar telescope to Bible camp and let the kids look through it. And I think we saw Saturn one night, and we would see all kinds of stars, and he would show us different galaxies and in different celestial bodies. I thought it was absolutely amazing to look through the telescope. Now, when we think about what telescopes do, telescopes make something that seems very small look like it really is. When I look through a telescope and I look up at the sky, if I look at it with my naked eye and I look up at Saturn, say, it just looks like a small little dot. It looks like something that's not that big of a deal. It may shine, it may glisten, but it has no real meaning and significance and value in my life. But when I look at it through a telescope, I can get a clearer picture of what Saturn really looks like. I can see the glory and the majestic majesty of God's creation by looking through the telescope. A telescope, its basic function is to magnify what seems insignificant, to magnify it into a way to make me understand it and see it like it really is, like it really is. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, "As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul says, whether I live or die, whether in my life or in my death, I have one purpose, Paul says. And that purpose is to magnify the glory of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. To make Christ look like He really is. That was the purpose of Paul's life. John Piper, a preacher, says, "Our purpose is to live in such a way as to make the surpassing worth of God in Christ look like what it really is. To live in such a way as to make the infinite value of Jesus more plain than if you had not lived." Brothers and sisters, we pursue so many things in life. So many agendas, so many causes. Our plate is full with toils and hardships maybe, and tribulations and different pursuits and ventures. But our one God-given assigned purpose is like what a telescope does, how it magnifies reality. That is our ultimate purpose, is to magnify the glory of the risen Lord Jesus Christ and to make Jesus look like He really is. Eternally significant, valuable more than any created being, more valuable than anything that we see in this cosmos. That is our purpose, to magnify Jesus Christ. And to live in a way as to make the infinite value of Jesus more plain to a world that's lost and dying than if I had not lived. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 6 through 7, Isaiah writes and says, "I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." The Bible teaches that our purpose is rooted in magnifying the glory of God in the earth. Brothers and sisters, we only get one life. You only get one shot at this present temporary existence. And even some people who embrace the name of Christian create their own purpose and look within themselves to try to find some kind of significance in this life. And we forget who created us. We forget that He has given us a purpose. And we forget to pursue His cause ultimately more than ours. And His agenda, more than my own selfish needs and desires. That is our purpose. That is why we are here. Paul says again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, "So we do not lose heart." I love this passage. "Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction..." And I want you to pay attention to the next word here. "Our light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Paul says that this light, momentary affliction, he's talking about all the pain and hardship that I have to endure while living for God, a God-centered, focused life and a God-centered purpose. When I live life for God, Paul is saying that's preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, beyond what I can even fathom or imagine. If you look in the Greek text, you could also translate this verb preparing that's rendered in the ESV as producing. Paul is saying that everything I go through while living for God, when He is my purpose and I am pursuing His glory and reflecting His majesty upon the earth, is producing something. The only way that I can be truly productive in this life, truly productive, is by making God the center of everything within my life and following my purpose that He has assigned to me and given to me and created for me. That is where we find meaning. That is how this life makes sense. This life makes sense when I begin with God in finding my purpose and follow through with it. When we live on purpose, when we live God's way instead of our own, our lives have real meaning. There's real meaning and real significance to be found while pursuing God's agenda and not my own. I know that what I do on this earth, it carries eternal weight of glory. And everything outside of that, when I create my own agenda and pursue it, it's temporary. It's here one moment and then gone the next, like smoke, like a vapor. Our lives, when we pursue God's agenda and God's cause, our lives are simplified. Our lives are simplified. Our lives can be really hectic sometimes, can't they? Lives can be, we can have an overbearing schedule and pursue all kinds of things. But when this focus, when God's purpose is at the center of my will and of who I am, life becomes simplified. Everything I do now becomes to fulfill what He has assigned to me and given to me. Life becomes simplified. When God's purpose becomes ours, when we embrace our God-given purpose, our lives become focused. We are able to focus more clearly why we are here and what we are to do while living for God on this earth. When we live on purpose, our lives are motivated. Because I know that when I am working for God and when I am following His cause and agenda, everything makes sense. Everything makes sense when I follow Him, when I pursue His agenda, His cause more so than my own, and that motivates me because I know that I am being truly productive when I live for Him. I'm motivated when I embrace my God-given purpose and live it out. And lastly, our lives are prepared for eternity. When I forsake my selfish will and abandon trying to find purpose and meaning within me and find it first rather within God. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be pursuing different facets of our purpose and pursue what gives glory to God. And my personal invitation and what I encourage every single person in this room to do, we are about to move into a new building. We are moving down the road, of course, everybody knows, into a new building in a couple months. And I believe that God is going to give us opportunities. God is going to give us many opportunities to reach out to people who need Jesus. Be thinking as we go through this series. Be pondering within yourself, how can I be used by God when we move into the new building? How can I fulfill my God-given role, my God-given purpose, and pursue His cause and agenda when we move? This morning, if you need anything from the church, if you have prayers that you wish to be prayed on your behalf, like I've said before, we want to know that. We want to know what you're going through, what you're struggling with, so we can bear your burdens. Or if you need to be baptized, if you need to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you know you are lost, Come forward this morning, confess your faith in Him, repent of your sins, believe that He is the only true God, and be washed clean by His blood through baptism, and receive the forgiveness of sins through His name. Won't you come this morning, and as we stand and as we sing?